Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's greatest prime minister. Welcome to this Present Truth program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Podcasts are always on thispresenttruth.com. Today is the 24th of October, 2025. Benjamin Netanyahu, the greatest prime minister of Israel since Israel became a nation again in 1948. I suppose you want me to explain myself, so I will. No prime minister has gone through the crosshairs or has been in the crosshairs like Benjamin Netanyahu. Initially, Benjamin Netanyahu, when he became prime minister for the first time. So where do we begin with Benjamin Netanyahu? I'll present to you my view of why he is the greatest prime minister of Israel in modern day history. And I'll add my view along with the facts. So he's had three terms. He's in his last term presently. This will be his final term. First term began in May of 1996. And he served I don't want to get lost in details, but he had his first term in 1996, when served until 1999. Then his second term, 10 years later, 2009, ended in 2021. And resumed the prime ministership in December 29th, 2022. This would be about roughly 11 months before the attack on Israel in October. Well, what is it, 10 months? In October 2023. I had heard in his first term, he gave away territory, the West Bank, to the Arabs, not Palestinians, Arabs. They're not Palestinians. They are Arabs. Most from Egypt, Jordan, others from the area surrounding in the Middle East. They're not Palestinians. They are Arabs. Because he gave away land, there was a Christian man, I believe, from Africa, a black pastor, came to him and said that he would become prime minister again in the future. But once he resumed as a prime minister of Israel a second time, he was not, according to the prophecy by this pastor, not allowed to give property away again. And if he would, he would be removed as prime minister of Israel again. He's never made that mistake since that first term in office ending in 1999. He finished out in the Carter, Bill Clinton years. He has been despised by the American presidents up to Donald Trump. Disliked. Initially, he had globalist tendencies, willing to do whatever was necessary to work with the globalists of the United States and Europe, really being forced to work with the Arab nations, doing everything that he could possibly do to keep Israel stable, safe, as far as attacks, economically, working with Arab nations when possible for the to be able to trade not only with Arab nations, but in Africa, Europe, and needing to work deals with the American presidents, though they despised him, Carter, George Jr., Barry Satoru, and he was forced to work with these individuals, and he did, with Yasser Arafat and the other leaders of the Islamic Palestinian terrorist groups, even to a degree with Bashar al-Assad. He wasn't able to come to any agreement with the nation of Iran. He recently turned 75, like I think 4 days ago, 3 days ago. He was what we would term a true Israeli baby boom child, individual. Now, in Israel, many or a few of the Israeli prime ministers were globalists. They were working with the globalist objectives of the United States, not so much Europe, but the U.S. specifically, globalist plans to eventually Israel would become part of the Klaus Schwab Economic Forum, which Israel would be brought into the plan of Klaus, these globalists. And Netanyahu made a dangerous, not a mistake. He took a position that he tried to, and did, you might say, sit kind of in between the globalist West and attempting to separate Israel from complete globalist control, though Israel needs American military weapons. Very difficult it's too intricate with the relationship that Israel as a nation has with the United States of America. It is a relationship that began 1948 when the United States passed the sole vote to bring that was the vote that brought Israel into existence after almost 2,000 years. And Netanyahu has been, you might try to say, not trying to skirt complete total U.S. dominance. He has is in conflict with a multi-headed Shiva. The Islam as a religion, the Arab nations that are ancient families and ancient enemies, world opinion after the conflict began in the Gaza Strip, conflict with the United States of America, the great Goliath. This America is the Goliath that Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to appease with European countries, France, Germany, England, nations that would love to destroy Benjamin Netanyahu as prime minister. Also the Catholic Church, Lutheran churches, the religious world internationally, including the mainstream Christian charismatic Pentecostal religions here in the United States. That's without. Then you have the adversary within. You have the Arabs that are terrorists working with the terrorist groups outside of the borders of Israel, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and Yemen, etc. So Benjamin Netanyahu is at war on many different fronts. I have quite a bit of detail about who he is, again, when he was born, his life, but that really is got to take the bottom shelf, because there's something that Benjamin Netanyahu, I believe, God, the God of Israel, has placed him, trained him, put him in positions through his lifetime to prepare him for the leadership, the responsibilities as prime minister that they really do would take a unique individual to cover all the bases, very much like Donald Trump. I'm kind of in a four-part series here with Donald Trump being the greatest president of the United States of America, Benjamin Netanyahu being the greatest prime minister of Israel, Vladimir Putin being the greatest president of Russia in Russia's history, Xi Jinping, a unique individual, which will help China become great. These four men are the greatest individuals of their countries, and what is unique is this is all at the same time. Here in 2021, 2023, 2024, 2025, and into the near future, Donald Trump is about to be dismissed as president of this country. Benjamin Netanyahu is going to also be dismissed by God as prime minister of Israel, probably within the next year, I believe. Vladimir Putin is going to be dismissed as president of Russia, possibly in the next year. Xi Jinping, I'm assuming there's a little possible plans to remove him as president of China. Now, the first three, I'm pretty sure of. Trump, Netanyahu, Putin. One more year max for Putin. Possibly. Putin may be the president of Russia after Russia is destroyed in a great war that's coming, I believe, next summer, when Russia with other countries is going to, they're going to move their armies into present-day Jordan. Netanyahu has a bigger challenge coming from this point forward. What he's gone through in the last 2 years in the Gaza Strip, in Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, this isn't finished. Benjamin Netanyahu is the only individual, the only prime minister of Israel that has the wisdom, the intelligence, the brilliance, the fortitude, mental abilities, the strength needed to continue to win these battles against Israel's enemies in the region. No one else would have been able to do it. No other prime minister. Like I say, most of the Israel's prime ministers have been globalist, leaning globally, leaning in toward the globalism, willing to bring Russia, bring Israel into bondage. Into, you think they were in bondage? Israel was in bondage in Egypt. You can't imagine how Israel would have been under the control of the globalist powers in every way, forcing them to lay down their arms, just like Trump has told in this agreement with Hamas. One of the things Hamas must do, lay down their arms. That's what Israel would be forced to do. And in the future, Israel will be forced to lay down their arms. But not as long as Benjamin Netanyahu is prime minister. Netanyahu's at war with Goliath, his brothers, his cousins, aunts and uncles, the whole world, anti-Semitism. It's another Goliath that Netanyahu is another battle he's having to wage. A propaganda war. Benjamin Netanyahu, he returns to power a year, 10 months before the Gaza conflict. There is no other prime minister or individual in Israel that would have been able to handle the conflict from October 7th to the present. No other individual in all of Israel's, in all of Israel. He's the only individual that could do it. I will say something that you may not understand what I'm saying. You most likely won't agree. I personally believe that he's in the bloodline of King David. I thought I would just present that. The only way you could really prove it would be through DNA testing. But if you look at the way King David fought his battles during the time that he was king of Israel, he was relentless. He had a clear strategy. He knew his enemies. He knew their strengths, their weaknesses, and King David was able to pick the battles and was victorious in every decision, basically, that he made when it came to the surrounding enemies. He had to fight enemies from along the coast, Mediterranean coast, which would be the land of the Philistines, the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, which would be in present-day Jordan, the family members of Lot, which would be Moab and Ammon, the enemies in Assyria, which would be present-day Syria, in Lebanon, Egypt. And Benjamin Netanyahu, then on top of that, with the Philistines, you had these great giants, Goliath, his brothers, their armies. David, like Netanyahu, was brilliant in battle. There has not been a prime minister in Israel since Israel became a nation once again that has had the insight and the tenacity and the drive and the ability to work diplomatically with even the enemies and the those that would support Israel, regardless of what position these countries would and nations would take in the UN. Once the war in Gaza, we call it a Gaza war. It is not a Gaza war. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 83, there is a regional war that would occur in the time prior to Christ's second coming, a war that would be unique in itself. It would be a war with enemies within the nation of Israel, in Israel's proximity, Jerusalem, north, West Bank, along the Mediterranean coast. It's a Psalm 83 conflict. We call it the Gaza War. It is not a Gaza war. It is a regional war. Benjamin Netanyahu was the prime minister of Israel the day that that conflict began. He is the only prime minister that was able to, in spite of protests within the country, protests in the political parties, protests within the military itself, protests with the society, protests in the Arab nations, at the UN, with the relief agencies, protests in the United States on the college campuses, in Europe, protests. He's the only prime minister that would have had the God-given strength to stand no matter what. In the same principle as Donald Trump, same principle as Vladimir Putin. But Netanyahu, as the and the King James, David was the king of Israel. So in the King James, here we're in this time of the king's protests here in this country, Benjamin Netanyahu would be Israel's king that has been taking Israel and the armed forces and waging war on the enemies. To the north, Lebanon, northeast, Syria, along the coast, Gaza, within the country, with the terrorist groups, the cells, Yemen, in southern Saudi Arabia, which are the families of Abraham through the third wife, Keturah. These are Keturah's children that Israel is in conflict with in Yemen. Benjamin Netanyahu is the individual that God placed in that position. He had to be in position. It was placed a year or 10 months before the conflict began. Any other prime minister, the latest, Lipid, what was her names? Yair Lapid, he would have backed down immediately. Naftali Bennett, there's no way Bennett would have been able to stand the heat and the pressure and the push from outside. Ehud Olmert, none of these men had the ability or had the spiritual strength. Benjamin Netanyahu has had to push at the religious orthodox or the church, the religious world of Israel. What do you call them? The orthodox religions. But just like King David, God put Netanyahu in that position 10 months prior to the beginning of the fulfillment of Psalm 83, a regional war. It would be along the coast in the Mediterranean, on the east, the western side of Israel. The war would extend into Lebanon. It's in Psalm 83. All these family members and enemies in this conflict are mentioned in Psalm 83. It is a war that could not take place until it would take place, you might say, in a time in which there would be real-time reporting. In other words, according to the chapter, the whole world would see it in real time. This war has never taken place before. There wasn't the technology. There wasn't the ability in communication, whether it be satellite or television, airwaves, you name it, internet. It could not have taken place 10 years ago, 20, 30, a century, 5 centuries ago. It had to take place in the last 10 years before Christ returns. And it began at the 8-year mark. Actually, it began at the 10-year mark, I'm sorry. We are at the 8-year mark now. It's been 2 years since the conflict began. The Psalm 83 war, Israel's conflict that began on October 7th, was the beginning of the final decade prior to Christ's second coming. Benjamin Netanyahu was the only individual through the years that had more experience with the global powers economically, militarily, diplomatically. He, as a prime minister, realized the globalists have one objective with the nation of Israel: to control it, to move in, and to take over the land of Israel. They will do it in the near future. Benjamin Netanyahu will not be prime minister at that time. I believe, in my view, this Netanyahu is the final prime minister of Israel's government. What is going to replace, or who, a group is probably going to replace Netanyahu. I think Israel as a nation, the people of a nation, they realize that an individual will not be sufficient, will not be enough, will not be able to. It will be too difficult for an individual to politically move Israel and in other ways move Israel into the future. There are too many problems. Israel is going broke in this war. They will go broke. Israel is spending more on the war than anything else. But Benjamin Netanyahu, no other, Olmert, Lapid, or Naftali Bennett, these people, I believe, were globalists. What direction were they going to take Israel? Into the clutches of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the governments and the Rockefeller Corporation, the United States of America, and the Rothschilds monarchs in and royals in Europe. These people have a deep, deep hatred in the United States. These wealthy billionaires, these kings, these are the true kings of the world. They're spoken of in Revelation chapter 6. The kings of the earth. You're talking about Rockefeller. You're talking about Soros. These individuals that are paying for the protesters here in the United States of America. You have the royals of Europe. These are the kings of the world. Donald Trump is not a king in the sense of an individual that wants to rule the world. He just oversees a people, a country that he is desperately trying to, you could say, save, to help, to snatch back out of the clutches of these kings of the world, out of the hands of the Fords and the DuPonts, Morgans, the banks, and these other three men that I've mentioned, even going back further than that, going back to Ehud Barak and Perez, Yitzhak Rabin, Shamir. I believe these men were globalists. They would take the easy route for Israel. The route that is the most difficult is the right route to take, the right direction, the right course. This is the direction that Benjamin Netanyahu has taken Israel as a nation. Menachem Begin, during the revolt years in 1946, 47, 48, when Israel was fighting against Nasser of Egypt and the British and the French, Begin stated, the only way that Israel is going to become free is through blood, sweat, and tears. It's the only way. It's not going to work diplomatically, which is what these other prime ministers wanted to do. We'll work it out through diplomacy. No, you don't work anything out through diplomacy. not when you're at war with a religion that is a religion of death and people that are hell-bent on destroying every Jewish individual and the nation of Israel as a nation. Psalm 83 says that the psalmist that wrote the psalm, he cried out to God and said, Lord, help us. These people that are preparing, how many years did they prepare to destroy Israel from 2005 to 2023, preparing, digging tunnels, stockpiling, working out plans, not just within the nation of Israel along the Mediterranean coast, but in Lebanon to the north, Syria, being supplied by the Arab nations with finances, bringing in weapons from Iran, China, stockpiling. And the psalmist says, Lord, they're conspiring against your people, Israel, the Jewish people who are basically sound asleep. And they want to destroy your people, genocide, destroy them all, man, woman, child. Destroy every one of them. It's right there in Psalm 83. Destroy your people. That's genocide. And also, eliminate the name of Israel from history. To eliminate the forefathers, the thought of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, the lineages all the way to Christ. Christ himself, Israel ever becoming a nation, the land being given to the Jewish people by God, the time of Moses, or Abraham actually was given the land. Moses just rehearsed to the children of Israel the land that they had been promised by God through covenant. So they want ethnic cleansing. So this is what Benjamin Netanyahu is up against. Those who want to commit genocide, not just in Gaza, but in Syria, in Lebanon, in Jordan eventually, in Iran, North Africa, the nations of the world would love to see Benjamin Netanyahu assassinated. Get Trump, get Netanyahu, get Putin. They'd love to see these men die. Why? Trump is not a royal, never has been, never will be. He was never part of the elites of this country. He was always at odds with them. But he was in their world to learn how they play the game. Netanyahu, as prime minister, he learned how to play the game politically in Israel with the other men who wanted to be prime ministers and give Israel away, sell Israel to the highest bidder, to bring Israel into bondage in the globalist order. He learned how to study the Arabs or the terrorists in Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS and all the others. He learned the unique ways of each of these terrorist groups, who funds them, where they get their training, just like King David. I don't want to convince you, but I am convinced that Benjamin Netanyahu is of the lineage of King David. I'm convinced of that. I believe Menachem Begin may have also been of the lineage of King David. And David Ben-Gurion, most likely. Any of the others, I'm not so sure of. Ariel Sharon, a good possibility. But Sharon made a big mistake. He gave away some of Israel's real estate. And what happens to him? He has a stroke. And he's in a coma for, I forget how many years, 5-6 years. Netanyahu will not give land away, but be assured, the Rockefellers of America, they and the Rothschilds of Europe have their eye on Israel. Who's going to come out on top, the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds? It's going to be the Rockefellers. This family, we have all these king families of the United States of America and the top of the heap, the top of the pile, the top of the hill, the Rockefellers, in my view, their fingers are in everything. Wherever you see environmentalism, their fingers are in there. Their fingers are evident in the king's protests, Antifa, finances going to these Trump-hating groups, Soros, Rockefeller. So today's program really is Benjamin Netanyahu, the greatest prime minister in Israel's modern history. The podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com. Tell your friends. Thispresenttruth.com. You can write me at Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I have donate functions that are on the website. If you would like to support me, $5, $10. I even have functions where if you have Bitcoin or the other digital assets, or you can just write me again, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502, right here in good old Colorado. Now, Netanyahu is no joke. This is why he is so hated, just like Donald Trump. This is not a genocide in the Middle East. This war is an ancient war. Is ancient prophecies about an end-time war that Israel would not be able to skirt or to halt, to stop, or to hide from. No way. This is a major prophecy for our time. Psalm 83. I've talked about it on the website, on my programs, which are on my website archived. ThisPresentTruth.com, when you open the page, you can go to programs on This Present Truth or Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs. On the Olive Tree site, I take a chapter or a topic and I cover it as clearly as I can, like the Psalm 83 war, an ancient prophecies about an end-time war, a war that begins 10 years before Christ's return. You can listen to these programs. You can play them 10 minutes, walk away, come back 30 days later, play another 10 minutes, go. Come back a year later, play another 10 minutes. You're not going to go very far listening 10 minutes every year. So take an hour. I'll try to put something, hopefully something valuable and in your view, in how you see things. You probably didn't know that Psalm 83, the present day conflict in Israel, was in the Bible. Now you do. I'm a prophecy teacher. I look at the prophecies in the Bible and I make them understandable and current. We've been 2 years into a regional war. It's not over. Israel is going to destroy Damascus and go in to the present-day Jordan. Netanyahu has more duties by God. He's going to go into Jordan, and that land has to become Israeli real estate, and it will. Just like with the Gaza Strip, the Arabs are going to move north or south, or just they're just going to move out. Those that stay, according to the Bible, now you want to have a fit. Those that do stay are going to be willing to have a change of heart toward the children of Israel and toward the God of Israel. And once they have a change of heart, they will understand. They will be blessed by blessing the Jewish people. They will be blessed. They will be protected by Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli army, the Israeli society. They will be blessed. They will be allowed to live in that area, build their homes. They're not going to allow their children to be brainwashed by this Islamic religion. It won't happen anymore. They will be targets of Islam, of the Muslim people. There's no such thing as, a lukewarm Muslim. You either eventually bend and yield and agree to become participants in Sharia law, or you're going to start losing things like your head. But Israel is going to completely own the Gaza Strip. And, you know, people are screaming because Donald Trump and his son-in-law and others are planning to begin to rebuild the West Bank. They're going to. It's in the Bible. Israel is going to own and rebuild, and that land, that area, is going to be top, fantastic real estate internationally. It's in the scriptures, and it will be Israeli real estate. I know many. You want to turn me off? It's okay. You're going to miss more insight that would be helpful to you. Don't fight what you don't fight in the dark. You're just swinging your arms, pulling a trigger, trying to hit something, and you don't know what you're shooting at. The people of the world are ignorant when it comes to Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is very clear. There's an objective behind it. There are people that hate God, that hate their fellow man. They want to bring misery, harm, hurt to their fellow man. These are enemies of God himself. There are people that don't understand that Israel, when the dust settles at Armageddon, guess who's going to be standing, the last man standing? Israel. The United States and the armies of America will be completely eliminated. The United States will be completely obliterated as a nation. Nothing will live in this country. China, the armies from the east, Their blood and their corpses are going to be, the blood is going to be absorbed into the ground. Their corpses are going to be eaten by the birds of the air. The Islamic armies, same thing with the Islamic armies. Their bodies are going to lay on the ground rotting. Guess who's coming to destroy them? Christ. And they believe, and the armies of Antichrist, they believe they're going to use technology to fight Christ in the air. How stupid. I'm telling you, you can tune me out. Turn me off. But you're going to miss a lot because you'll get to know the future. You'll get to know what's happening presently. Things that will help you, give you some insight. This is not a time for the Christian people to continue to believe you're going to be raptured out of here. You're deceived. These men for the last, since 1901, who brought this concept of a rapture, you're going to be disappointed. Very, very disappointed. There's one resurrection. There's not a bunch of little catching up here, catching up there. Nope. The others that tell you there's a rapture are lying to you. Like those who say that Israel is committing genocide. No, they're not. Psalm 83, ancient prophecies about the children of Lot, Moab and Ammon. They persecuted the Jewish people for thousands of years, 3,500, 3,600 years, always causing distress to the Jewish people. Jacob's brother, twin brother Esau, 3,800 years ago, causing distress, conflict, hurt. He's going to be punished. The children of Esau would be punished. Of Moab and Ammon would be punished. The children of Keturah in Yemen, when they fight Israel, they will be punished. In Syria, the ancient nation of Assyria, which we would see Syria, not relatives. There was Jacob, his wife. It was Laban, Rebekah's brother, was a Syrian. So they might say there's some Syrian blood with the Jewish lineages. And in Lebanon, enemies. These punishments would come simultaneously. Not one here, not one there, not one over here, but in a regional war. A regional war. And the whole world would see it. And God's intention that these people that are fighting the children of Israel, the Jewish people, would halt and repent. God is going to make himself known to them. God wants them to recognize him, that he is Yahweh, that he is the God of Israel, and there's no need to fight him. You can't win. God says he's going to make his name known to these families, to these people. He's going to do what he can do to help the women and the children. The enemies, the soldiers, says will die in the open on the battlefield. Many of them will not be, they'll be buried under rubble. It's detailed, very specific and intricate details in Psalm 83. They will die in the open. They will die. And it says that the man giving the orders, the commanders, they will die violently, and the whole world will see them. These campaigns that Israel had a year ago against the leaders of Hamas, Hezbollah, Syria. What happened to them? Yahya Sinwar. He's holed up on the second floor, and a drone comes in. He's sitting in a chair. He's the head of the Hamas terrorist group. Just exactly like it says in Psalm 83. He's sitting in a chair. He has a stick in his hand. He's wounded. The drone pulls back. Next thing you know, he's dead. Died in the open for the world to see. You're not going to fight God. These terrorists, these enemies that worship Allah, the God of death, now the whole world is beginning to realize how violent Islam is. And still, in this country, you have college-age students that are Antifa or Black Lives Matter or other terrorist groups, non-Muslim groups, attempting to work with Muslim groups. Well, once a conflict is over, who's going to be the next target? By Hamas or Hezbollah or these Islamic terrorists in this country, the Muslims. It will be Antifa. You cannot. Eventually, snakes will turn on each other. But there is a spirit of deception, blindness on the minds of millions of people in this country. They are communists, fascists, socialists. One thing they have in common, if you're in one of these three groups, God hatred. They hate God. The thought of God, the thought of a judge, the thought of punishment. Benjamin Netanyahu is the man appointed by the God of Israel to punish the ancient enemies of Israel. And the Christian people in this country that are calling this war genocide, you don't know the Bible. It's war. Islam, the objective, destroy Israel internationally, the Jewish people, throughout the whole world. Once they eliminate every true Jewish person, and they're going to eliminate those of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews but are not. Kazarian, Ashkenazi, Benjamin Netanyahu, is not a Jew. No, he's Jewish. He's a true Jew. He has Jewish blood from the lineage of King David, in my view, from the ancestors of Joseph, of Jacob. And just his confidence. It's not arrogance. It's confidence. Does Netanyahu know the prophecies of Psalm 83? I don't know. Do the rabbis of Israel know those prophecies? I don't know. But now you do. This audience, you know that Psalm 83 is a 3,800-year-old prophecy, and it would occur, take place, the judgments and punishments of the family and enemies of Israel, of Abraham, the families of Jacob, would all be punished within the same conflict. and the conflict is going to end. And when the conflict ends, then Israel has another enemy. Iran, Russia, Turkey, Ethiopia, Libya, Azerbaijan, other nations in Russia's vicinity, they're going to bring their armies to present-day Jordan, and that's where they're going to meet their doom. And guess who's going to be watching? I believe Donald Trump will, his time in office, like I've stated in the first or second program in this series, his time is about done. He's almost finished. He won't be president when Russia's destroyed with the armies, the Russia and the armies with Russia in present-day Jordan. Trump will not be in office. And it won't be J.D. Vance. When Trump goes, Vance goes. When Trump goes, the girls with Trump, Hegseth, all these people are going to go. Pam Bondi, all of the Trump people are going to go at the same time. And Benjamin Netanyahu, when Israel takes control of the real estate of present-day Jordan, Netanyahu's time will be just about up. But right now, he is the king of Israel. I don't ask you to believe what I present. Consider it. Because in the days and months to come, as things develop, you're going to see, well, it was in the Bible. Netanyahu is in the Bible. Trump is in the Bible. Putin in the Bible. And Barack Obama and Bill Gates of hell. These guys are in the Bible. Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, both George and George Jr., Bill Jefferson, Rockefeller, Clinton is in the Bible. Hillary Rodham, Rockefeller, Clinton is in the Bible. Adolf Hitler is in the Bible. And we are the generation that is alive presently. We're 8 years from the return of Christ. 8 years away. Christ returns in the fall, 2033. The Pentagon and the military leaders of the world study the Bible. You should too. They study Revelation. They ask, when is the end coming? King Herod, he knew that Christ was the king. That's why he and the other leaders in Rome wanted to kill all the children. Pharaoh believed the Bible, the prophecies. One of these, the deliverer of the children of Israel out of Egypt, would come out of Egypt, and the time was right. So Pharaoh had all the children under 2 years of age killed. Well, people want to know the future. The program is This Present Truth. Podcast is on This Present Truth website, thispresenttruth.com. Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I will be back for the next segment, the next article, the next topic. And I tried to go 1 hour till I can get my voice back to where it needs to be. Until then, God bless you.